This is Peter, and I am reading from poems of Robert Service, and I'm reading primarily from the Ballads of a Red Cross Man, which are dedicated to his brother, who died in World War I. The Lark. From Red Wrath Dawn to Red Wrath Dawn, the guns have brayed without abate. And now the sick sun looks upon the bleared, blood-boltered fields of hate, as if it loathed to rise again. Oh, strange the hush, yet sudden hark, from yon down-trodden gold of grain, the leaping rapture of a lark, a fusillade of memory that sprays us from yon trench of sky, a new amazing enemy we cannot silence though we try, a battery on radiant wings that from yon gap of golden fleece hurls at us hopes of such strange things as joy and home and love and peace. Pure heart of song, do you not know that we are making earth a hell? Or is it that you try to show life still is joy and all is well? Brave little wings, ah, not in vain you beat into that bit of blue. Lo, we who pant in war's red rain lift shining eyes to heaven too. Let me see now, we're on from here. A Song of Winter Weather. Tipperary Days. Let's see. My Mate, 328. I've been sitting, staring at his muddy pair of boots and trying to convince myself it's him. Look out there, lad. That sniper, he's a desi when he shoots. He'll be laying of you out the same as Jim. Jim, as lies there in the dugout with a blanket round his head to keep his brains from mixing with the mud, and his face is white as putty, and his overcoat all red, like he spit a bloomin' paint pot, but it's blood. And I'm trying to remember of a time we wasn't pals, how often we played ookie, him and me, and sometimes it was music halls, and sometimes it was gals, and even there we had no disagree. For when he copped Maria Jones, the one I liked the best, I shook his and loaned him half a quid, and saw him through the parson's job. I helped him make his nest. I even stood godfather to the kid. So when the war broke out, says he, well, what about it, Joe? Well, what about it, lad, says I to him. His missus made an awful fuss, but he was mad to go. He was always high-spirited, was Jim. Well, none of it's been even, and most of it's been L, but none of it's been Evan, and most of it's been L, but we shared our baccy, and we halved our bread. We'd all the luckle wipers, and we shaved through Neuve Chapelle, and that sniping bastard got him in the head. Now what I wants to know is why it wasn't me was took. I've only got myself, E stands for free. I'm plainer than a louse. He was handsome as a duke. He was always a better man than me. He was going home next Tuesday. He was happy as a lark, and he'd received a letter from his kid, and he struck a match to show me, and we stood there in the dark when that bleeding bullet got him in the head, in the lid. He was killed so awful sudden that he hadn't time to die. He sort of jumped and came down with a thud. Then corpsey-looking shells, star shells, kept a-streaming in the sky. And there he lay like nothing in the mud. And there he lay so quiet with no mansard to his head. And I'm sick and blame if I can understand. The pot's all half and half we've had, and zip like that he's dead, with the letter of his nipper in his hand. There's some fights for freedom, and there's some that fights for fun. But me, my lad, I fights for bleeding eight. You can blame the war and blast it, but I hopes it won't be done till I get the bloomin' blood price of my mate. It'll take a bit of bayonet to level up for Jim. Then, if I'm spared, I think I'll have a bid with her that was Marrier Jones to take the place of him and sort of be a father to his kid. And that's grieving the death of a mate. A song of the sandbags. Ooh, some of these are difficult. Some of these are difficult. John Desprez, Desprez, May Desprez. O ye whose hearts are resonant and ring to war's romance, hear ye the story of a boy, a peasant boy of France, a lad uncouth and warped with toil, yet who, when trial came, could feel within his soul upleap and soar the sacred flame, could stand upright and scorn and smite as only heroes may. O hearken, let me try to tell the tale of Jean Desprez. With fire and sword the Teuton horde was ravaging the land, and there was darkness and despair, grim death on every hand, red fields of slaughter sloping down to ruin's black abyss. The wolves of war ran evil-fanged, and little did they miss. And on they came with fear and flame to burn and loot and slay, until they reached the red rood-roofed croft, the home of Jean Desprez. Rout out the village, one and all, the Uhlan captain said. Behold, some hand has fired a shot, my trumpeter is dead. Now shall they Prussian vengeance know, now shall they rue the day. For by the sacred German slain, 10 of these dogs shall pay. They drove the cowering peasants forth, women and babes and men, and from the last with many a jeer. The captain, he chose 10. 10 simple peasants, bowed with toil. They stood, they knew not why, against the gray wall of the church, hearing their children cry, hearing their wives and mothers wail. With faces dazed, they stood. A moment only. Ready! Fire! They weltered in their blood. But there was one who gazed unseen, who heard the frenzied cries, who saw these men in sabots fall before their children's eye. A zouave wounded in a ditch, and knowing death was nigh, he laughed with joy. Ah, here is where I settle ere I die. He clutched his rifle once again, and long he aimed, and well, a shot beside his victim's 10, the Uhlan captain fell. They dragged the wounded zouave out. Their rage was like a flame. With bayonets they pinned him down until their major came. A blonde, full-blooded man was he, and arrogant of eye. He stared to see with shattered skull his favorite captain lie. Nay, do not finish him so quick, this foreign swine, he cried. Go nail him to the big church door, he shall be crucified. With bayonets through hands and feet, they nailed the zouave there, and there with anguish in his eyes and horror in his stare. Water, a single drop, he moaned. But how they jeered at him and mocked him with an empty cup, and saw his sight grow dim as in agony of death with blood his lips were wet. The Prussian major gaily laughed and lit a cigarette. And mid the white-faced villagers who cowered on horror by was one who saw the woeful sight and heard the woeful cry. Water, one little drop, I beg, for love of Christ who died. It was little Jean Desprez who turned and stole aside. It was the little barefoot boy who came with cup abrim and walked up to the dying man and gave a drink to him. A roar of rage, they seize the boy, they tear him fast away. The Prussian major swings around, no longer is he gay. His teeth are wolfishly agleam, his face all dark with spite. Go shoot the rat, he snarls, who dare defy our Prussian might. Yet stay, I have another thought. I'll kindly be and spare quick. Give the lad a rifle charged and set him squarely there and bid him shoot. And shoot to kill haste, make him understand. The dying dog he fain would save shall perish by his hand. And all his kindred they shall see, and all shall curse his name, who bought his life at such a cost, the price of death and shame. They brought the boy, wild-eyed with fear, they made him understand. They stood him by the dying man, a rifle in his hand. Make haste, they say, the time is short, and you must kill or die. The major puffed his cigarette, amusement in his eye. And then the dying zouave heard and raised his weary head. Shoot, son, 'twill be the best for both. Shoot swift and straight, he said. Fire first and last, and do not flinch, for lost to hope am I, and I will murmur, Vive la France, and bless you ere I die. Half blind with blows, the boy stood there. He seemed to swoon and sway. Then in a moment woke the soul of little Jean Desprez. He saw the woods go sheening down, The larks were singing clear, and oh, the scents and sounds of spring. How sweet they were, how dear. He felt the scent of new-mown hay. A soft breeze fanned his brow. O God, the paths of peace and toil, how precious were they now! The summer days, the summer ways, how bright with hope and bliss! The autumn, such a dream of gold, and all must end in this. This shining rifle in his hand that shambles all around. The Zouave, there with dying glare, the blood upon the ground, the brutal faces round him ringed, the evil eyes aflame, that Prussian bully standing there as if he watched a game. Make haste and shoot, the major sneered. A minute more I give, a minute more to kill your friend, if you yourself would live. They only saw a barefoot boy, with blanched and twitching face. They did not see within his eye the glory of his race, the glory of a million men who for fair France had died, the splendor of self-sacrifice that will not be denied. Yet he was but a peasant lad, and oh, but life was sweet. Your minute's nearly gone, my lad, he heard the voice repeat. Shoot, shoot, the dying Zouave moaned. Shoot, shoot, the soldiers said. And John Dupré reached out and shot the Prussian major dead. I have a feeling that's a true story. .356 This is Peter. I am reading from The Rhymes of a Red Cross Man. Only a botch. We brought him, this is a poem called Only a Bosch. We brought him in from between the lines. We'd better have left him lie. What's the use of risking one's skin for a tyke that's going to die? What's the use of tearing him loose under a grueling fire when he's shot in the head and worse than dead and all messed up on the wire? However, I say, we brought him in. Diable! The mud was bad. The trench was crooked, greasy, and high. And oh, what a time we had. And oft we slipped, and oft we tripped, but never he made a moan. And how we were wet with blood or sweat, but we carried him like our own. Now, there he lies in the dugout dim, waiting the ambulance. The doctor shrugs his shoulders at him and remarks, he hasn't a chance. And we squat and smoke at our game of bridge on the glistening straw-packed floor. And above our oaths, we hear his breath, deep drawn in a kind of a snore. For the dressing station is long and low, and the candles gutter dim, and the mean light falls on the cold clay walls, and our faces bristly grim. And we flap our cards on the lousy straw, and we laugh and jibe as we play. And you'd never know that the cursed foe was less than a mile away. As we con our cards in the rancid gloom, oppressed by that snoring breath, you'd never dream that our broad roof beam was swept by the broom of death. Hi-ho! I turn for the dummy hand. My turn for the dummy hand. I rise and stretch a bit. The fetid air's making me yawn, and my cigarette's unlit. So I go to the nearest candle flame, and the man we brought is there. His face is white in the shabby light. I stand at his feet and stare. Stand for a while, and quietly stare. For strange though it seems to be, the dying Bosch on the stretcher there has a queer resemblance to me. It gives one a kind of a turn, you know, to come on a thing like that. It's just as if I were lying there, with a turban of blood for a hat, lying there in a coat gray-green instead of a coat gray-blue, with one of my eyes all shot away, and my brain half tumbling through, lying there, with a chest that heaves and bellows up and down, and a cheek as white as snow on a grave, and lips that are coffee brown. And confound him, too, he wears like me, on his finger, a wedding ring, and around his neck, as around my own, by a greasy bit of string, a locket hangs with a woman's face, and I turn it about to see, just as I thought, on the other side, the faces of children, three, clustered together, cherub-like, three little laughing girls, with the usual tiny rosebud mouths, and the usual silken curls. Zut, I say, he has beaten me, for I only have two, and push the locket beneath his shirt, feeling a little blue. Oh, it isn't cheerful to see a man, the marvelous work of God, crushed in the mutilation mill, crushed to a smeary clod. Oh, it isn't cheerful to hear him moan. But it isn't that I mind. It isn't the anguish that goes with him. It's the anguish he leaves behind. For his going opens a tragic door that gives on a world of pain. And the death he dies, those who live and love will die again and again. So here am I at my cards once more, but it's kind of spoiling my play, thinking of those three brats of his so many a mile away. War is war. He's only a botch, and we all of us take our chance. But all the same, I'm mighty glad when I hear the ambulance. One foe the less, but all the same, I'm heartily glad I'm not the man who gave him his broken head, the sniper who fired the shot. No trumps, you make it, I think you said. You'll pardon if I err. For a moment I thought of other things. Mon Dieu, quelle vache de guerre. One. This one, and I'm reading poems by Robert Service. Poems to do with war. This is one called The Whistle of Sandy McGraw. You may talk of your lutes and your dulcimers fine, your harps and your tabors and cymbals and awe. But here in the trenches, just give me for mine the wee penny whistle of Sandy McGraw. Oh, it's Sandy, my lad, will you lilt us a tune? And Sandy is willing and trillin' like mad. Say, silvery sweet, that way a throng around, and some of it's gay, but most of it's sad. Just the wee simple airs that sink into your heart and grope ye with love and with longing for him. And ye glower like an owl till you're feeling the start o' a tear, and ye blink with a feeling o' shame. For his songs o' the heather and here in the dirt, ye listen and dream of a land that's sae braw. And he makes you forget of the harm and the hurt, for he pipes like a lavrock, does Sandy McGraw. At Ypres I mind me, when rank upon rank we rose from the trenches and swept like the gale, till the rapid-fire guns got us fell on the flank, and the murdering bullets come swishing like hail. Till a' that were left o' us faltered and broke, till it seemed for a moment a panicky rout. Then, shrill through the fume and the flash and the smoke, the wee valiant voice of a whistle piped out, "The Campbells are coming." Then into the fray we bounded with bayonets reeking and raw. And oh, we fair revelled in glory that day, just thanks to the whistle o' Sandy McGraw. At Luce, it was after a schoonersome fecht. On the field o' the slain I was crawling about, and the rockets were burning red holes in the nicht, and the guns, they were viciously thundering out, when sudden I heard a bit sound like a sigh. There's a crump hole, and there in a crump hole a kiltie I saw. "What ails ye, my lad? Are ye wounded?" I say. "I've lost my wee whistle," says Sandy McGraw. "'Twas out by yon bing when we pressed the attack. It dropped frae me pouch, and between noo and dawn there isn't much time, so I'm just crawling back." "You're daft, man," I telled him, but Sandy was gone. Weel, I waited a wee, then I crawled out mysel, and the big stuff was goring and roaring around, and I seemed to be under the oxeter of hell, and creation was cracking to bits by the sound, and I says in my mind, "Gang back, ya old fool!" Then I thrilled tae a note, 'twas saucy and sma', and there, in a crater, collected and cool, with his wee penny whistle, was Sandy McGraw. Aye, there he was playing as gleg he could be, and listening hard was a spectacled Bosch. Then Sandy turned round and he nodded to me, and he says, "Dinna blab on me, Sergeant McTosh. The old chap is dying. He likes me to play. It's making him happy, just see his eyes shine, and thrilling and sweet in the heart of the fray." Wee Sandy was playing The Watch on the Rhine. The last scene o' a', 'twas the day that we took that bit of black ruin they call La Biselle. It seemed the hale hillside just shivered and shook, and the red skies were roaring and spewing out shell, and the sergeants were cursing to keep us in hand, and hard on the leash we were straining like dogs. When upward we shot at the word o' command, and the bullets were dinging our songs in their lugs, and onward we slept with a yell and a cheer, and with destruction, confusion, and din. And we knew that the trench of the Boches were near, and it seemed just the safest bit hole to be in. So we tumbled down, and the Boches were there, and they held up their hand, and they yelled, "Kamerad!" And I marched off with 10 with them, palms in the air, and my, I was prood, like, and my, I was glad, and thought, if me lassie could just see me then. Then sudden I sobered at something I saw, and stopped, and stared, and halted my men, for there on the stretcher was Sandy McGraw. Well, he looks in my face, just as game as you please. "Ye ken who I hate to be working," says he, "but noo I can play in the streets for babies. But now I can play in the streets for babies, wi' both my legs taken off at the knees." And though I could see he was racket with pain, he reached for his whistle and started to play. The quaverin' sweet and quaverin' sweet was the pensive refrain. The flowers o' the forest are a-weedy away. Then sudden he stopped. "Man, 'twas it not grand how we took them trenches?" He shaked his head. "I'll nae play no more." Feebly down from his hand slipped the wee penny whistle, and Sandy was dead. And so, you may talk o'er your Steinways and Strads, your wonderful organs and brasses so braw, yet out o' the trenches, just give me, my lads, yon wee penny whistle of Sandy McGraw. This one is called The Stretcher Bearer. My stretcher is one scarlet stain, and as I try to scrape it clean, I tell you what, I'm sick with pain. For all I've heard and all I've seen, around me is the hellish night, and as the war's red rim I trace, I wonder if in heaven's height our God don't turn away his face. I don't care whose the crime may be, I olds no brief for kin or clan, I ims no ate, for I only see, as man destroys his brother man, I wave no flag, I only know, as ere beside the dead I wait, a million hearts are weighed with woe, a million homes desolate, in dripping darkness far and near. All night I've sought them woeful ones, dawn shudders up, and still I hear the crimson chorus of the guns. Look, like a ball of blood, the sun hangs over the scene of wrath and wrong. Quick, stretcher bearers, on the run! O Prince of Peace, how long, how long? Thank you. This one is called Mrs. Moriarty's Boy. And this is about two mothers. One whose son was killed at war, and one whose son came back, but was clearly dead, or suffering from PTSS, as it's called today, post-traumatic stress syndrome. Miss Moriarty called last week and says to me, she says, "Sure, the heart of me's broken entirely now. It's the fortunate woman you are. You've still got your Dennis to cheer up your home. But me, Patsy boy, where is he? Lying alone, cold as a stone, kilt in the weariful war. Oh, I'm seeing him now, as I look on his last, with his hair all curly and bright, and wonderful, tenderful heart he had, and his eyes, as he went away, shining and looking down on me from the pride of his proper height. Sure, I'll remember my boy like that if I live to my dying day." And just as she spoke them very same words, me Dennis came to the door, came in from McGonagall's old shebeen, came in from drinking his pay, and Miss Moriarty looked at him, and she didn't say any more, but she wrapped her head in her old black shawl and quietly went away. And what I was thinking, I ask you now, as I put my Dennis to bed, with his raving and cursing one half of the night, as cold by his side I sat, was I thinking the poor old woman, she was with her Patsy slaughtered and dead, was I weeping for Miss Moriarty? I'm not so sure about that. Miss Moriarty goes about with a shining look on her face, with her gray hair under her old black shawl, and the eyes of her mother mild. Some say she's a bit off her head, but anyway, it's the case. Her temper's so sweet that you never could tell she'd be losing her only child. And I think, as I wait up every night for my Dennis to come home blind, and I'm hearing him stumble foot on the stairs about 3:30, sure, there's a way of breaking a heart, and I haven't made up my mind. Would I be Miss Moriarty, or Miss Moriarty me? And this is called My Foe. Let me make sure I have one. Yes. Grrr. My Foe. This is called A Belgian Priest Soldier Speaks. Grr, you cock on, stand and fight, show your metal snarl and bite, spawn of an accursed race. Turn and meet me face to face, here amid the wreck and rout. Let us grip and have it out, here where ruins rock and reel. Let us settle steel to steel. Look, our houses, how they spit sparks from brands your friends have lit. See our gutters running red, bright with blood your friends have shed. Hark, amid your drunken brawl, how our maidens shriek and call. Why have you come here alone to this hearth's blood-spattered stone? Come to ravish, come to loot, come to play the ghoulish brute. Ah, indeed, we well are met, bayonet to bayonet. God, I never killed a man. Now I'll do the best I can, rip you to the evil heart, laugh to see the lifeblood start. Bah, you swine, I hate you so, show no mercy, no and no. There, I've done it, see, he lies, death a-staring in his eyes, glazing eyeballs, panting breath. How it's horrible is death, plucking at his bloody lips with his trembling fingertips, choking in a dreadful way, as if he would something say in that uncouth tongue of his. Oh, how horrible death is! How I wish that he would die! So unnerved, unmanned am I. See, his twitching face is white. See, his bubbling blood is bright. Why do I not shout with glee? What strange spell hangs over me? There he lies. The fight was fair. Let me toss my cap into the air. Why am I so silent? Why do I pray for him to die? Where is all my vengeful joy? Oh God, my foe was just a boy. I had a brother of his age, perished in war's red rage, perished at the Ypres Hall. Oh, I loved my brother well, and thought I'd be hard and grim. How it makes me think of him! He had just such flaxen hair as the lad that's lying there. Just such frank blue eyes were his. God, how horrible war is! I have reason to be gay. There's one less foe to slay. I have reason to be glad. And yet my foe was just a lad. So I watch him in dull amaze, see his dying eyes aglaze, see his face now grow glorified, see his hands outstretched and wide to that bit of ruined wall where the flames have ceased to crawl, where amid the crumbling bricks hangs a blackened crucifix. Oh, now I understand. Quick, I press it in his hand. Close his feeble fingertips. Hold it to his faltering lips. As I watch his welling blood, I would stem it if I could. God have pity. Let him live. God of love, forgive, forgive. His face looked strangely as he died, like that one they crucified, and in the pocket of his coat I found a letter. Thus he wrote, "The things I've seen, O mother dear, I'm wondering, can God be here? Tonight, amid the drunken brawl, I saw a cross hung on a wall. I seek it now, and there alone, perhaps, I may atone, atone. And oh, 'tis I who must atone. No others saw but God alone. Yet how can I forget the sight of that face so woeful, white, dead? I kissed him as he lay, knelt beside him, and tried to pray. Left him lying there at rest, crucifix upon his breast. Not for him the pity be. Ye who pity, pity me, crawling now the ways I trod, blood guilty in the sight of God." and that is about the guilt of killing a young man in war. And that young man, of course, could be an Iraqi just as easily as it could be a German. Let's see now. The Mourners. Afternoon tea. Song of the Pacifist. I think I'll try that. Song of the Pacifist. What do they matter? Our headlong hates. When we take the toll of our dead. Think ye our glory and gain will pay for the torrent of blood we have shed? By the cheers of our victory, will the heart of the mother be comforted? If by the victory all we mean is a broken and brooding foe, is the pomp and power of the glittering hour and the truce for an age or so, by the clay cold hand on the broken blade, we've smitten a bootless blow. If by the triumph we only prove that the sword we sheathe is bright, that justice and truth and love endure, that freedom's throned on the height, that the feebler folks shall be unafraid, that might shall never be right. If this be all, by the blood-drenched plains, by the havoc of fire and fear, by the rending roar of the war of wars, by the dead so doubly dear, then our victory is a vast defeat, and it mocks us as we cheer. Victory, there can be but one, hallowed in every land, when by the graves of our common dead, we who were foemen stand, and in the hush of our common grief, hand is tendered to hand. Triumph, yes, when out of the dust in the splendor of their release, the spirit of those who fell go forth, and they hallow our hearts to peace. And brothers in pain, with worldwide voice, we clamor that war shall cease. Glory, aye, when from blackest loss shall be born most radiant gain, when over the gory field shall rise a star that shall never wane, then, and then only, our dead shall know that they have not fallen in vain. When our children shall talk of war as madness that may not be, when we thank our God for our grief today and blazon from sea to sea the name of the dead on a banner of peace, that will be victory. The twins. There were two brothers, John and James, and when the town went up in flames, to save the houses of James, dashed John. Then turned, and lo, his own was gone. And when the great world war began, to volunteer John promptly ran, and while he learned live bombs to lob, James stayed at home and sneaked his job. John came home with a missing limb. That did not seem to worry him, but oh, it set his brain awhirl to find that James had sneaked his girl. Time passed. John tried to his grief to drown. Today, James owns one half the town. His army contracts. Riches yield. And John, well, search the potter's field. And so, dear friends, it is about 5 minutes to eight. And I think I'm going to end where I started, with the last poem in this book. Well, I'll read the three last poems, which I started with early on today. Once more, my sheaf of songs I tie, and bid them gleefully goodbye, and feel it will not give me pain to never look on them again. With metronomic measure I have beat them out beneath the sky, and though my facile rhyme I curse, sometimes I think they might be worse. But anyway, as in the past, I vow that they will be my last, for I have come to 65, content to feel so much alive, and though gray-haired I grieve to state, an unrepentant reprobate, admiring lads who wench and whine, but forced, alas, to toe the line, for I have learned a thing or two, as we old coves are bound to do. I've come to know that storing health is better far than storing wealth, that smug success has little worth beside the simple joys of earth, that fame is but a bubble brief, and glory vain beyond belief, that it is good to eat and drink, that it is bad to overthink, that only stupid people claim to take themselves with serious aim, that laughter is the gods' best gift, and so to the gods our laughter lift. Aye, though their wrath the heavens split, they grant us scorn to laugh at it, and so, frail creatures of the day, let's have a good time while we may, and do the very best we can, and give one to our fellow man, knowing that it will all end with death. Let's joy with every moment's breath, and lift our heads like blossoms blithe, to meet at last the swinging scythe. And this one. What are we fighting for, we fellows who go to war, fighting for freedom's sake? You give me a bellyache. Freedom to starve or slave, freedom, aye, of the grave, fighting for hearth and home, who haven't an inch of loam. Hearth, why, even a buyer can only be ours for hire. Dying for future peace, killing, that killing cease. To hell with such tripe, I say, sufficient unto the day. It ain't much fun being dead. Better to lie in bed, cuddle up with the wife, making, not taking, life to the corpse that stinks in clay. What does it matter who wins the day? What odds if tyrants reign? They can't put irons on the brain. One can always eat one's grub, smoke and drink in a pub. There's happiness in a glass, a pipe and a kiss from lass. It's the best we get anyhow in the life we are living now. Who's wanting a hero's fate? To the dead cheer come too late. Flesh is softer than steel. Wounds are weary to heal. In the maniac hell of the fray, who is there who dares to say hate will be vanquished by love? God in his heaven above. When those who govern us lead, the lads they command to bleed, when rulers march at the head and statesmen fall with the dead, when kings leap into the fray, fighting in the old-time way, perish beside their men, maybe, oh maybe, then war will be part of the past, peace will triumph at last.